Well, good evening. It's good to be here. I won't tell you we're from Toronto, in case you don't like Torontonians, but that's where we're all from. But that is, oh man, don't even start me on that. But as Brother Pierre said, we're all one together in Christ. So my name is Jim, and this is my wife Claudia. We've been married together for 23 years. And we've been coming to this part of Cape Breton every summer for at least 17 years now, and finally purchased a spot in South Harbor about a decade ago. And so this is our place to come and reboot and recharge and enjoy nature and the people. So I was really pleased, brother, to see that you were continuing on here. We visited this congregation. Oh, I don't know. It might have been 3 or 4 years ago at Bay St. Lawrence at the community center there. There was a gathering that Pierre was leading. And so we're sure pleased to be with you again tonight. Really, truly am. I'll try to keep it brief. I'm a preacher back home in Toronto. And, you know, I don't know if Pierre ever gets long-winded, but, you know... I had a Sunday not long ago. You know, I've had people walk out in the middle of my sermons before, but this happened just recently. A guy got up and, you know, he was a bit of a spectacle and stormed out the door, towards the door, and one of the ushers got him and said, "Hey, where do you think you're going, buddy?" He said, "Well, to get a haircut." And the usher said to him, "Well, you should have thought about that before you came to church." He says, "I didn't need one before I came to church." So we'll try to watch it just a little bit. God has been good to us. My wife Claudia and I were both raised in Christian homes, but I think for me at least, as soon as I got old enough to tell my folks that they couldn't force me to go anymore, that was it for me. So I dropped out of church in my teens, I guess. Claudia, a little later than that. Claudia was attending an Italian Baptist church. Her parents immigrated from Italy, and Claudia's the first generation in her family born, actually, in Canada. But we left church, I think, mostly because they made you wear itchy clothes. At least that was my reasoning at the time, and it seemed boring, and it didn't seem relevant to my life, and I thought I was destined for other things, and, you know, that began a period that was good and bad, but eventually took me down a path that wasn't the way the Lord wanted me to walk at all. I always had an interest in business and being an entrepreneur, and I became a stockbroker on Bay Street in Toronto. And in my 20s, I actually, yeah, there's another reason to throw stones at me. Don't. In my 20s, in that profession, I just took to it. And I was nearly number one in the country in sales and in commissions for several years going there. And it was just a bad mix because I like to have fun. I was a pretty independent guy. Nobody could tell me what to do. And I was making more money than I ever dreamed of making. I mean, in those days, probably 10 times then what I make today. And when you're in your 20s, it's amazing. You can invent ways to spend that money and create an instant party. And that's basically what I was about, was doing my work in the day and partying at night and pretty hardcore. Around that time is when I met Claudia. And while she had stopped going to church, she wasn't living like this completely godless life like me. I was pretty off the deep end. Claudia was a good girl, but just hadn't found much use for church in her life anymore. Strangely, God brought us together through work. She came in for a job opportunity where I was working at the time, and I spotted her on the way in, and I knew she had to go down this one hallway to leave, so I waited. And before she even left the office that day, I'd made my move, and we became friends, and then husband and wife. But I really wasn't living the way I should have been living. There were some nights that I just didn't come home at all because I was closing down the bar with clients and with buddies. And so even though I was married, I was really in many ways still living like a bachelor. Certainly my clients, my friends, my partying, alcohol, all of that came first for me. And to keep this from going too long, I'll just put it to you this way. God got my attention through, he uses different ways for all of us. He got my attention through pain. Through pain, because, you know, you reap what you sow. And I was making little messes, you know, everywhere I went, and hurting a lot of people and blowing a lot of money and just living an incredibly ridiculous way. I mean, you talk about the prodigal son. That was me in every description of the term. And it started to catch up with me health-wise, and it was taking a toll on my marriage. You know, it wasn't certainly the way Claudia wanted to live her life, with a husband who was drinking all the time and never coming home and all of that. Even though I was, you know, a good provider and making lots of money, she wasn't happy in her heart. And then, you know, I started making unwise decisions. I took on a business partner and didn't dot all my I's and cross all my T's, and ended up in a really bad lawsuit there. And to make a long story short, I knew something in my life needed fixing. Bible says, you know, that we were created by Christ for Christ. And there's a hole in your heart until you have Christ. And I was, like maybe some of you have experienced, searching to fill that space with something. I don't know what, money or status or popularity or stuff. And it just wasn't working. So I tried willpower. I have pretty good willpower. And that wasn't delivering me from all that ailed me. And then I thought, well, self-help. You know, I don't know. You guys are fans of positive thinking. I like positive thinking because, I mean, it's better than negative thinking, right? But you know, even positive thinking won't get you out of everything. I used to send my employees to go to, y'all know Tony Robbins, that success guy, you know, to these self-help, success, motivational seminars. And he had just written a book called Awaken the Giant Within. I thought, that's what I need to do. I need to awaken the giant within and seize control of this guy here. And it wasn't very long before I realized that, no, you know what? My giant was already wide awake. There was a giant operating in me that was already wide awake, and God wanted to slay the giant within and to bring me to my knees and humble myself so I would turn to him. And through pain and through the lifestyle choices I was making, this caught up to me, and I turned and I cried out to the Lord. And my wife had been praying for this for so long that she was just relieved when, you know, it says in the story of the prodigal son, he came to his senses. And I had that moment of clarity, thank God, where I came to my senses and I saw there was a better road. And it's funny, I guess being raised in church, I still had a Bible on my bedstand, on my night table, even though I never cracked the cover of it at all. And I picked it up one day and it fell open to the Beatitudes. And I'm not really one of these, you know, just open it up and what do you got for me today, Lord? But it fell open to the Beatitudes and it said, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In Luke, it just says, blessed are the poor. You know, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who mourn. Everything opposite of what I was pursuing, Jesus was saying, was a blessed life. And that really got my attention. We found a good church. We were guided and loved on by some great people, gave our hearts to Christ, and began to follow him with all our heart. I found, and I'm not saying that you can't stay in that industry. Lots of people are doing all kinds of different work serving Jesus in their jobs. But for me, that stock brokerage job was way, way too connected to the drinking and the lifestyle and everything else that I was a part of. So I had to walk away from that. And that's when I started seeking the Lord's will about the possibility of ministry. So we sold our house and moved into a basement apartment. I started attending a small seminary in Toronto, graduated from there. God brought me to my first congregation in Toronto. It's a 110-year-old church, and I'd come out of the marketplace where, you know, you could go from good idea to implementation like this to a church where, you know, there was this board and this system and this family and this gatekeeper. And it was difficult to struggle with some of the traditional systems there, but they loved us and we loved them back, and they called us to serve there. And we did for 6.5 years. But that entrepreneur gene that God put in both of us, we thought, God, what would you do, you know, if we were set free to use our gifts in a more non-traditional setting? And that's when we felt like God wanted us to plant a church. So we started a church 12 years ago with 10 people in my living room. And we did that for a while. We moved from 3 different schools over that period of time, finally got into a building 2 years ago. and God has done his thing. Our church has grown from about a dozen of us to about 900 of us in that short period of time. And praise God, because, you know, in Toronto, where I live, Hindus and Muslims outnumber evangelical Christians by, you know, a large majority. And churches are closing their doors. They're not opening. And so, you know, I want to remind you to stay very, very faithful. I'm grateful for the work that you're doing here. Do you know, 1 year we were here in Cape Breton, and they had the ship, the Matthew, come through, which was a replica of the boat John Cabot used when he came across and discovered Cape Breton, or Newfoundland, depending on whose story you listen to. Aspie Bay, I was just swimming at Cabot Landing this afternoon. And I looked at this replica boat, and it was only like 50 feet long. I mean, just, you sailed across the Atlantic Ocean with primitive navigation and not knowing where you were going, and what kind of faith would it take to pioneer like that? But upon doing some research, I actually discovered that the most prolific explorer of all time was a fellow named Ferdinand Magellan. And he discovered more places and traveled more seas as a pioneer than almost any other explorer. And so I'll just close with this in a scripture. One of my favorite poets, a woman named Mary Oliver, wrote a poem called Magellan. And it goes like this. Like Magellan, let us find our islands to die on, far from home, from anywhere familiar. Let us risk the wildest places, lest we go down in comfort and despair. For years we have labored over common roads, dreaming of ships that sail in the night. Let us be heroes, or if that's not in us, let us find men to follow, honor bright. For what is life but reaching for an answer, and what is death but refusing to grow? Magellan had a dream he had to follow. The sea was big, his ships were awkward, slow. And when the fever would not set him free, to his thin crew, sail on, he cried. And so they did. They carried the frail dream forward, and thus Magellan lives, although he died. And when I see Pierre still added here, and this faithful group gathering, I think of that poem, I think of this scripture in 2 Timothy 2 that says, "Ye therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And there's that passing it along, passing the torch to keep the faith alive and keep it going. So God bless you. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to share. If I seem like a microphone hog, Claudia doesn't really like standing in front of the crowd very much. If you want to say something before we sit down, okay. Well, God bless, and keep the good fight going.